presenting Hop Harrigan, America's ace of the airwaves.
CX-4 calling control tower. CX-4 calling control tower. Standing by.
Control tower, back to CX-4. Wind southeast, ceiling 1200. All clear.
Okay, this is Hop Harrigan coming in.
Yes, it's America's ace of the airways, coming in for another transcribed episode in the adventures of Hop Harrigan.
Many times on Hop Harrigan, I've told you that the future of the airplane industry is as high and unlimited as the sky. New developments such as jet and rocket power, new ideas on design, new speed records, all these are only the beginning in the fastest growing business in the world. Someday, and maybe not too far in the future, an Earth ship will reach the moon. Then you'll be reading about a trip to Mars or Venus or any of the other planets. Of course, all that is still in time to come. Looking back to the beginnings of air travel and the invention of the airplane, we run across stories of great pioneers, men and women who had courage enough to face the unknown, courage enough to go up in a ship when they didn't know whether or not they'd come down in one piece. Many heroes died so that aviation progress could go on, and many others lived on and continued to pioneer and experiment, always trying to get something better. To these men and women, the whole world owes a great vote of thanks for making possible what's to come in the future. One of the earliest American air pioneers is Glenn L. Martin, owner and founder of the Martin Company and builder of such great planes as the PBM Mariner, the B-26 Marauder, and the giant Navy flying boat, the Mars. Glenn L. Martin started out early in his life to conquer space. When he was only 21 years old, he was already building gliders. And just a year after that, he designed and built his own plane, a pusher-type craft. And what's more, he taught himself to fly, something very few people have been able to do. More about Glenn L. Martin later, so don't forget to listen. And now to our story. With the murder of an airline mechanic, the riddle of the ghostly Avengers has taken a deadly turn, and Hop and Tank are in serious trouble. As we join them now, they're in central headquarters of the New Orleans Police Department, seated on a hard wooden bench near a door marked Detective Bureau. A police officer stands near them, eyeing them impassively.
They don't really think we did the murder, do they?
They certainly must suspect us, or we wouldn't be here.
But I don't see how they know we was in the guy's room. They didn't see us.
Yeah, that's been bothering me, too.
You don't suppose the killer himself told the cops we was there?
I don't know who else could have.
Oh, you just wait till I get my hands on him.
Hold it. Somebody's coming out.
All right, Reagan.
Yes, sir. On your feet, you two.
You're wrong. We're going in.
Come on, move.
Keep your shirt on.
Inside.
Go on, Tank.
Get a load of the guy behind the desk. Only a face a mother could love.
Quiet. Here they are, sir.
Oh, thanks. Sit down, please. That'll be all, Reagan. Wait outside.
Yes, sir.
I'll be with you two in just a moment.
Boy, he looks tough enough to chew nails.
You shut up.
You're Hop Harrigan and Tank Tinker. Who's Harrigan?
I am, sir.
Well, to complete the formalities, I'm Inspector Fry. I'm in charge of the Moran case.
Moran case?
Moran was a mechanic found dead in his room, Mr. Tinker. His name was Charles Moran.
Oh.
Well, suppose we begin at the beginning. How well did you know him?
Just a minute, Inspector.
Yes?
Are we being accused of his murder?
You're not being accused of anything yet, Mr. Harrigan. We're brought in to answer some questions.
Well, your men sure was tough about it.
I'm sorry. But when material witnesses seem to be running away, we aren't apt to be sympathetic.
Who says we was running away? That plane was scheduled to go out.
As I understand it, you're not employed by the Ace Flying Service. As a matter of fact, two other pilots were scheduled to make the flight, but you insisted on taking it out yourselves.
We had reasons.
Of course. We'll go into them later. Now to return to the original question. How well did you know the murdered man?
We didn't. We saw him for the first time yesterday afternoon. We didn't even know his name.
I see. Yet you knew him well enough to enter his room.
The door was open.
Do you always enter rooms when the doors are open?
Hey, now listen.
Tank. Inspector, you said we weren't being accused of anything, yet you're implying...
I'm not implying anything, Mr. Harrigan. I'm just looking for facts. You'll oblige me by giving me straight answers to my questions.
Well, doggone it, we are.
Very well. Now, you say you saw Moran for the first time yesterday afternoon. Under what circumstances?
He approached us. He said he had some information for us and asked us to meet him at his room.
What kind of information?
Well, something to do with a plane.
How did he know you were looking for that information?
He heard us talking.
About what?
Well, night before last, Hank and I took a plane up to Richmond and back, carrying a full load of aerial freight.
Oh.
On the way, one of the straps that hold the freight in position broke, caused some trouble. Later, we found out that the strap had been cut in half. We were trying to find out who was responsible.
Well, was Moran able to give you that information?
Yes.
How would he have known?
He said he saw somebody go into the ship just before takeoff.
Who?
He was going to tell us that when we went to his room.
Why didn't he tell you right away?
I don't know. I think he was frightened off.
Very interesting. Now, when you arrived at Moran's room, what did you see?
His body.
Where?
On the floor, behind a chair.
How did you know he was dead?
I was in the war, sir. Of course, I felt for a heartbeat anyway.
Then what did you do?
Looked around the room.
Why?
I thought he might have left some clue.
Clue to what?
Oh, the murderer, perhaps, or who cut the cargo strap.
They're both the same guy, if you ask me.
And did you find anything?
No.
Very well. Continue.
Well, then we heard the elevator start up, and frankly, we got a little scared. We knew if we were found in the room, it would mean trouble.
Yes, to say the least. Go on.
Well, we ducked downstairs and out of the building. That's all.
Yeah, until your cops picked us up out at the field.
And you weren't running away?
No, we weren't.
Nothing more you can tell me?
No, sir. Nothing.
Well, that's quite an interesting story. Measures up quite favorably with the best detective story.
It ain't no story. It's the honest truth.
Mr. Tinker, I sincerely hope so. The state deals harshly with murders.
Inspector Fry.
Yes?
May I ask you a couple of questions?
Of course.
How come the police suddenly showed up at Moran's room? Who sent them?
They went in answer to a routine trouble call.
You call murder routine?
Well, they were as surprised as presumably you were when they found the body.
Did they see us leaving?
No. Nope.
Then how did you know we were there in the first place? Why did you pull us in for questioning?
That I can't answer, Mr. Harrington.
Why not? Did someone phone in and say we were in the apartment?
Maybe.
Maybe my hind foot. That's what happened, and you know it.
No need to raise your voice, Mr. Tinker.
Like Thunder ain't. Why should I sit here and let you railroad us on our phony murder rap? You're looking for a couple of four guys, and we're rich.
That's enough, Tinker. I'm going to conduct this case in my own way.
Okay, but see that you get the right guy.
Don't worry, I will.
What now, Inspector? Any more questions?
No, not for the present.
Okay, Hop, let's get out of
here. Oh, no, not so fast, Tinker.
Huh? Regan. Hey, what is this?
Yes, sir.
Take him out, book him, usual routine.
Book us? On what charge?
No charge, Mr. Harrigan. You and Mr. Tinker being held as material witnesses for your own protection.
Oh, but we've got to get out of here. We've got work to do.
Playing detective, Mr. Harrigan? Very dangerous pastime.
Look, how long are you going to hold us?
Until I'm quite satisfied your story's authentic and you're no longer in need of my protection. May mean hours, may mean days. All right, Regan, take him away.
Waving his hand in curt dismissal, Inspector Fry turns back to his desk and slowly thumbs through a pile of notes. Words of protest well up in Hops and Tank's lips, but are choked back as they realize the helplessness of their position. And so they follow the police officer in silence. We'll bring you the gripping climax of today's episode in just a moment, gang, so stand by. Now, gang, let's get back to Glenn L. Martin, pioneer, inventor, and builder of great planes. At an early age, when most young fellows are getting out of college and wondering what to do next, Martin had his own plane factory, and believe me, making a go of it was a man-sized job. Most people thought the plane was nothing more than a toy, which only very rich men could afford to fool around with. While young Martin was fighting to establish his plant, he was making a name for himself in other ways. He set speed records and was the first to fly an airmail plane. He did a great deal of work on the parachute to help make flying safer. And one of his unknown secret records, Glenn L. Martin was the first man to drop bombs from the air. All this time, he was pouring his prize money back into his factory, So, little by little, it grew larger and larger, and by the start of World War I, it was the biggest in America. It was then that Martin looked into the future, as he had done so often before, and stuck his neck way out with a most daring prediction. He said that the plane would practically decide the war. And again, as so many times before, people laughed at him. It was silly, they said, something too fantastic to come true. Well, the plane did not decide that war, even though it turned out to be a powerful weapon. But you all know that 25 years later, his fantastic prediction came true. In World War II, Glenn Martin's factories did even more than their share in turning out the air power that helped lick the Germans and the Japs. And that's not the whole story of Glenn Martin's life, fellas and girls. Oh, it would take me hours and hours to tell you all the exciting details. In the near future, I'll tell you more about him, so remember the name Glenn L. Martin, one of the great pioneers who helped make America the master of the skies. And always remember, America needs flyers. And now, back to our story. Closely questioned by Inspector Fry of the New Orleans police about the murder of an airline mechanic, Hop and Tank were finally held as material witnesses and placed in a cell. Now, late the following morning, after a very restless night, they've just been taken to the inspector's office.
Well, Inspector, you got it pinned on us now? You're going to
say... Tank, look who's here.
Huh? Hello, boys.
Well,
how are you doing?
Okay, fella. Well,
gosh, am I glad to see you.
Same here.
Hey, listen, will you tell this gumshoe we don't know anything about Moran for Pete's
sake? All right, Tinker, just take it easy.
Paul, can you get us out of here?
You're all squared away now.
Well, we can leave?
Mr. Conroy, just put up bail. Yes, you may leave. I'm sorry I couldn't do it last night, but it took me a long time to raise the money. I took a loan out. I used one of the planes for collateral.
Oh, gosh, you shouldn't.
Forget it. Now, gentlemen, if you two have any bright ideas about skipping town, remember your friend Conroy's on the hook for you.
Say, I'm getting tired of your dirty cracks.
Well, then I'd suggest you'd better leave at once before I book you on something else.
Oh, yeah, what, for instance? Breathing?
Tinker, I'm warning
come
you.
Come on, Tank. Paul, let's get him out of here.
All right, come on, let's go, Tank. We got work to do.
Yeah, well, I'd like to do some work on his face.
Tank, shut up, will you?
All right, outside, pal.
All right, I'm going.
So long, Inspector, thank you.
Okay, and Harrigan.
Yes?
A word of warning. You're still on our books as material witnesses. Don't get any bright ideas.
I dropped it.
Tank, shut up. What's the idea, you idiot? You want to spend some more time in jail?
He makes me sore.
Oh, forget it, Tank. He's not a bad sort. He's trying his best to get to the bottom of the mess.
Then why don't he go after the killer instead of trying to pin it on us?
He isn't trying to pin anything on anybody. As a matter of fact, he saved your lives last night.
What?
You're nuts.
If his men hadn't pulled you in, you would have gone out in the cargo run.
So?
The plane cracked up. Both boys were killed.
A sudden chill of horror runs through Hop and Tank. They would have been killed had they taken off. Only through a sheer accident of fate were their lives spared. Gang, there's suspense and spine-tingling mystery waiting for you in the next episode of The Riddle of the Ghostly Avengers. So be sure to listen. Tune in and fly with Hop Harrigan, America's ace of the airwaves. So long, Hop. We'll be seeing you same time, same mutual station. Hop Harrigan is a transcribed copyrighted feature appearing in All American Comics magazine and is brought to you Monday through Friday, same time, same mutual station.